But I'm thankful to God to be here, and some of you might be having trouble because I live among people, so many of them are deaf. And I try to be as simple as ABC, because it doesn't matter which audience you're in, many are DEF when it comes to the things of God. So let's get down to business now and turn to the Word of God. And we're following along in the same theme. And what is it? Well, it's growth and the assembly or the church life. And that's why I don't want to go from Dan to Beersheba, and I'm sticking to the book of the Acts. And today we're reading in that great chapter, chapter 5, where we see God inflicting capital punishment on two of the first charter members of the church. And they were struck dead. And it was all over money. And I tell you, when you start reading the Word of God and get into it, there's no time for so much on the outside. How marvelous it is to be wide awake and yet stick to the Scriptures. Because what gets into your brain and heart from the Word of God will live forever. All that I say, well, it's in one ear and out the other. And the devil's here to steal it. The Lord's here to bless it by His Spirit. So thank God for the prayers that go up and those who have been in touch concerning this conference, and especially today. Now, Acts chapter 5, and we break in at verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But, thank God for but, an angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go! That's my commission. Stand! That's my confidence. Speak! That's my confession. And what am I to talk about? God forbid it should be all the stuff that's going on today. Go, stand, speak in the temple to the people, because that's where they would be. All the words of this life. Because this thing was of God that happened at Pentecost. This is that that took place. This man, get to know him. He receiveth sinners, and even a girl named Edith, as someone thought. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This man, none like him in all the earth. And what are the words of this life? Well, it's better to read about them than what I say about 60-some words in our Bible, but it's only 50. Let's go and take a look at it. Verse 29, Peter's third message. You want to learn to preach? Study the sermons in this book. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers, raise up Yeshua, Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Death and resurrection. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. His twofold office, the prince and the provider, to give repentance to Israel. And forgiveness, which is, and that's why when I'm dealing with Jews, I know how to deal with them as I deal with Muslims and others. Because when it comes to the Jew, I always back to repentance. And when it comes to the Gentile, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's as scarce as hen's teeth today talking to Gentiles when it comes to faith. Because George Mueller had faith to set food before hundreds of orphans. Some of us haven't even enough faith to carry it over. What about tomorrow? And here you have this wonderful person who's gone up to heaven, and we see him in such a marvelous way, the God of our fathers. My theme is death and resurrection of Christ, his twofold office, and then the twofold way of dealing with people. And then look what it says. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that what? believe him. No, I got the Holy Spirit when I believed on Jesus.
But the reality and the power and the evidence of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life, how do you get it?
Well, it's one thing to believe. It's another thing to obey. And that's why there's two sides to the gospel. You believe it, you behave it. Go study the book of James. Only take you a few minutes to read it. But it'll take you a lifetime to understand it and get it in. And so we come to this second section. You see, the first, what I was trying to bring out this morning, was the purpose of God. You see, in the very first opening verses, he lays down the foundation of the church of God, the pillar and ground of truth. And as he lays the foundation, he shows and gives to us the cardinal factors of Christianity. And to get a grip of it, well, you must be pretty dull not to enter into it. But what happens? You see, we all believe it here. But when Jesus Christ was here, he made three promises. And the one promise that he made a promise. I can't be with you in Dallas and Houston at the same time, but I do make you a promise. I'll send the Holy Spirit. Did he? Sure. So it doesn't matter whether I'm in Timbuktu or Tokyo, or whether I'm away over there in Jerusalem, or I'm in Johannesburg, or whether I'm here in Dallas, I can be absolutely sure he's given to me the Holy Spirit, that my spirit bears witness with his spirit. I belong to him, and I have communion with him. I have fellowship with him. And that promise was fulfilled, and I'm a living testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son. They sent this Holy Spirit, and he came on the day of Pentecost. And I am a living example, because it's a reality. I've been born of the Spirit of God. Soon as my all I ventured upon the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God. And that's why when that dear man got a grip of this, and then he lost his daughters. And I often think of sitting there in Jerusalem, and as Mrs. Vesper would tell the story of her father, and what happened when the ship went down and the four girls were lost. And later on when he wrote that grand book on Jerusalem, and then he told the story out of his agony of soul and the brokenness of heart. He wrote that hymn, it is well with my soul. And regardless of what the foes may come with marching feet and beat of the drum, regardless of what may take place, how wonderful to know I have Christ in my heart. And what those nations rage as we approach the end of the age. I've got Christ. I wonder, hey, everybody in this audience, yeah, you're beginning to nod. Have you got Christ in your heart? Ask God to help to keep you awake. Because it's hard sometimes, indeed. Sometimes my fault, sometimes yours. I wonder if everybody on the side got Christ in their heart. But it's only a few minutes. Try and bear with us. And you see, here was God's way as he opens up this marvelous book. Because Dr. Luke, he combined the two greatest of all professions. He used to say to our boy, go for it, go for it. Be a minister to the body, but also be a minister to the soul. And how much it's needed today. And here was a man that combined the two greatest of all offices. And he takes up his pen to write. And he sets before us such a picture of our glorious Lord as a man true and tried and tested and died such a tragic death and rose in glorious triumph. And that's his book, Luke, and how he ends his book. Then God uses him to take up his pen and he writes about the followers. And that's where we come in when we come to this chapter. Because you see, in the first chapter, you go all the way through the whole book and take the Holy Spirit in every chapter. You can take the Word of God in every chapter. You can take the numbers of people that were reached in every chapter. But there's another way. You can take the personalities. And there's over 75, and I've got them all listed and written out, and you might find a few extra. But these personalities all combine to tell us what the church is all about. And you have a place, and I have a place. And some may be one talent, some may be two talents, three talents, but you have something from God. I have something from God. It's fitting into the plan of God. And the grandest thing in the world is to be reached for Christ when you're along this line. Because my wife's here today, a missionary kid, and listening to the story of the gospel of five wise and the five foolish, as a little girl of six, she realized she didn't have oil in her lamp. You got it. Away out there on the plains, listening to old Hoochie preach the gospel, a black man. You wonder why we're interested in people of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. You wonder why I'm interested in the Jew. You wonder why I'm interested in the people with whom we have to do here and there. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross, and God forbid that I should shut my mouth. And so you have these characters brought before us, and they're spread throughout all this book. And it bothers me when I come down to a chapter like chapter 5, because even to read it in a sitting, what a way the Holy Spirit puts it together, because we find out how the gospel, God's plan is to get it out. And so we had a man who was laid up, and then God came along and raised him up, and then he got tuned up, and then he went out. And that's all in chapter 3. Then in chapter 4, the devil gets in. Where does he start? Inside. Then outside. And that's why he starts inside. And if he can't get you through battery, he'll get you through flattery. He knows how to grease your palm. And he knows how to do certain things to get you off track. And that's why we need to keep reading the Bible. Doesn't matter if you don't get much out of it or don't understand it. It has a sanctifying effect, even reading it. And you might not understand it all, and you might not be able to come to grips with great truths. But there's no book in all of God's universe like the Bible. And the more you learn to love the Lord, the more, oh boy, I want to get to know him. I want to get to know him. And to me, you take him away. Take him out of my life. And God has been good to me with a lovely wife and all these lovely kids scattered from Dan to Beersheba. That means all over the state, and one away up in Quebec. But the more you get to know the Lord, the more you want to get into this book. Do you know anything about Obadiah? Go read him. You can read him in 2 minutes. But he's a man with a burden. And he teaches us, even if Saddam survives, and even if Arafat survives, read Obadiah. He'll tell you about their end. And when it comes to the Jew, do I understand what it means to be a Jew? Do I understand to know what it means to be an Israeli? Do I understand to know what it means to be a Hebrew? And come to grips with some of the things in the Word of God. We send our children to school, and they go to Bible school, and they learn this, that, and the other thing. And I never hear, hardly ever hear of any school having a course in what we would call Jewish background. That's why I wanted to learn the language myself and sit in the classes and get among the people. And who could have ever dreamed that someday I'd come to a place like this and I'd meet up with some folk who actually live in this area from Nazareth. It's a wonderful world in which we live, and the ways of God are past finding out. When we get to home to heaven, what a day it will be. And so here's how the devil gets in, and then how he gets in the midst of God's people, and he tries to wreck the work. And so he tells us about disciples of deception. And everybody loves football, but I can't follow it so much. And now that it's all gone in such a way with all the millions, how easy it is to lose interest even in sports. I was brought up in hockey and played with one of the best of all teams and won the Ontario Championship both in baseball and in hockey. And then Christ came into my life What a difference. And I'll always be interested, but now, what a different day and age we live in here in 1992. And to see even the way the National Hockey League's going. And to see the way of the world and all the way it's moving. And you can have it. Take it. I have to live here. But I do my business in it like a man doing business in the rain. I get out of it as soon as I can. And if it wasn't for God, and if it wasn't for the reality of this old book called the Bible, how could we live and how could we go? But because he lived, I know there's a tomorrow. I know there's a future. I know that the best is yet to be. And I'm moving along. And so I come to a chapter like this, and it starts out in such a strange way how God stepped in. Why? Because he's dealing with the purity of the church. And God forbid that any man here or woman should defile or harm the church of God. God will destroy you. Why? Because the nearest and dearest thing to the heart of God is the church. I know that God loves the world. But me? Why? He's put his mark on me for time and for eternity, the Holy Spirit of God. And because I belong to him, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And oh, what a beautiful picture all through the Word of God. And because I'm one of the sheep of his pasture, he graciously and gently leads, and he cares, and he understands, and he deals with me in the right way. And there's no one in all the world like the Lord Jesus. How much do you know him? How much do you really follow him? And you'll never have desires after God as the heart panted after the water brooks until you get your soul the right way. And the most difficult thing for me in life is to wait on God. And I'm old now. But you see, God lets us have periods when he puts us flat in our back so we can look straight up. And I had to go away this morning at noon just to lie down for a while because I haven't got the strength. But you see, his strength is made perfect in weakness. And it's my dependability on God. And I haven't got all the answers up here. And I haven't got the push and the power. And so on. But from the time we came to Christ until now, I've never lost the love that Jesus had for me. To suffer on a cruel tree. It's more than tongue can tell, but it's come. And you see, here is something that's individual. And wherever these men went, or these women, wherever they went, there was either a riot or a what? A revival. And we have conferences like this. And some come to be fed. May God help them. Some come to meet with other Christians. Others have itching ears. There's a terrible disease in this 20th century. But that's one of the signs in the church. And you got to feed them what they like. But the only thing that will stay is the Word of God. All the other goes. And that's why heaven and earth will pass away, not the Word of God. And so, wherever they went, and they couldn't shut them up, they tried to adopt certain theories, oh, let them alone, it'll die out, and so on. But none of those philosophies ever worked. Why? Because what God puts in, no man or no demon can ever rip it out. What God has put in my life, nobody can take it out. God put it in my being. And now as I turn my life over to him, how can I love him in an affectionate way? Well, my body belongs to him, and every day I bring it and present it. And then he takes possession of it. And then he begins to develop it and cultivate and teach and show. And what does he help me to do? Oh, I see it. As long as I live in the world, the Word became flesh. And the Word of God becomes flesh in me. And in many places, I'm the world's only Bible. Listen, I've seen Africans and people so eager to receive things, and they haven't any money, and they haven't this, and they haven't that. How could we ever charge him for this or that? And what a privilege it is to gather a few fellows that I've done in every country I've ever lived in. And long after I departed, like a letter this week, long after I departed, I took at least 8 to 12 men. Every place I went, even Bermuda. And if you go and visit these places, you'll find these young men. And I stayed with them and stuck with them. And what God had committed to me, I committed to them, that they might commit to others. And far better to win one or two souls for Christ and teach them and then see them go and burn out than all this stuff that's going on in the world today, because it's a world of show and blow. And what the Spirit of God demands and what He desires is reality. And if we're real, be real for Christ. If not, pack up and get on with it with the crowd outside. And that's why when these men suffered, it cost them something. And you see, our first talk has to do with the commencement of the whole thing. How did it start? It's historical, and I know it's prophetic, but I look at it from the historical side. It started, and they actually lived on this earth, and they actually worked. That's why I know the land of the Bible a lot better than I know this part of the world. Yet there's no part of the world like the Lone Star. But I know all the places. And whether it was Baghdad or Damascus, or whether it was the old hometown of Abraham, we know what it is to walk and be all around, or the seven cities of Asia Minor. We know what it is to walk the streets of Izmir, which was Ephesus, or Smyrna, and so on. All the different places. But they were real. It's historical. This is personal. By the help of God, we'll take up tomorrow the spiritual side. What it makes, the making of a man of God, a child of God, a servant of God. And here, these men couldn't be shut up. Nobody could put a zipper on their lip. And they suffered. Have you ever suffered for Jesus? Have you ever been in a place and speaking a nice word, and somebody come up in front of you? This poor old thing gets me. If you don't hear, well, maybe you can get a tape. Who knows? But I would be speaking, and I know exactly the place. And a man comes up to me, and he listens, and he goes, I thought he was interested. And then a splash. Well, he went all over me. I felt bad. But then I'd had them come up even in Africa and curse me. And I had others come up and try to run me down, and one put the knife through my neck. And we know something of the browns and the blacks, and we know something of the whites. And when it comes to serving the Lord and following the Lord, it's a costly business. And if you don't believe it, go study Christ. How did He die? Abandoned. Alone. And that's why He says, look, this is my message. As time, as long as time shall last, this is irrevocable, this is it, and the message from the angel of God, the message from heaven is go. And it doesn't matter a whit whether you go across the sea or go across the street. What matters is the way you go. And the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest in your own backyard. And if I wasn't a testimony in my own hometown and where I grew up, what's the use of going across it? And if I hadn't known what it was to live in dependence upon God to get my needs. And that's why I love to go to the capital city of Ottawa on Canada, stand out in front of that great factory. And this was to be mine. This was to be the future. My boss said, if you serve me less, if you serve me, your bread will be buttered on both sides all your life. And the factory's still going good. And as far as I'm concerned, I left the whole works. And God has seen fit to butter my bread, put a little jam on it now and then. Come live with Ginny and Jimmy. Why, good, you can't beat God. You can't. You may try and put God to the test. God's greater than all. And that's why He says, go! How many of us go for God? And that's why it used to be so wonderful going to speak in Africa. And when you go along the little trail, and some have lost their lives, and if they ever have an accident, you might be stranded for hours, and many a lonely trip, and many a danger you face. Sure, but you go, and you're not expecting anything, and the only remuneration you'd ever get is maybe somebody esteems you highly, and they might give you a chicken or something like that. But you'd learn to live for God. And if you haven't learned to live for God in this land, how could you ever, ever keep on in another land? And the way I see things, and with the people with their silver and gold and all these other things, and when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, the basic things of life, how little we really go for God. Well, if you can't go, pray. And if you can't pray, God will soon put legs on your feet. Or he'll put, as it were, when you pray, he puts legs on your prayers, and you start doing something. You start going, and then you start coming to the Word of God, and then you start realizing the Word of God lives. And that's why he says, go and stand. And you have to take a stand for what you believe. And I've been a great admirer of communists, because what they believed, they were willing to die for. And what's the root idea of being a witness? The root idea of the word witness is martyr. And how many of us have any little marks about us when it comes to service of God? And that's why it's been awful coming back to our country, here and Canada, because everything's changed and everything's different. And you have to fit into a routine of life that you've never been used to, because you were used to, like, we were getting a group of Christians around us and doing this and doing that. And then all my little books were printed and put into the schools. And by the way, somebody asked me today at noon, I haven't time to go into that, but if there's anybody here would like to have 7 of our little books that have been put into so many schools over the earth, if you want them, just write your name on a piece of paper, give it to me, and I'll see that the granary gets them. And they'll go free to you. Because all our life we've lived this way. And when it comes to my book that we're trying to put together, The Jew, Jerusalem, and Jesus, I've got to have 5,000 to put down before they want to touch it, because I'm unknown. That's the way of life in this country. And so everything is on that, and it's a money-making stuff, and this is the way everybody lives, but God's ways are different. Dr. Chafer used to sit down with us and talk to us about the future, and that was one of the things he used to mention. And my design is to get the Word of God out, and to, when it comes to the Word of God, notes or anything like that, a drop of ink makes millions think. There's no telling where it'll fall. And when I think of how God blesses, but we must take a stand. What's your stand when it comes to the monetary? What's your stand when it comes to missions? What's your stand when it comes to the furtherance of this cause? And he says, go and stand. What's your stand on the truth of God? Well, listen, you can't do anything against the truth, only for the truth. And when I think of all my colleagues and the ones that I've been associated with down through the years, and they said, well, how are you getting along? And one of the most famous in this city, if you follow along the path you're following, your life will, or your ministry will be curtailed. And he had to apologize public to me in this city for those words, one of my teachers, professors. Why? Because God isn't in the limiting business. God doesn't limit anyone. God helps you to take a stand, and so help me, God, I take my stand. This is what I believe. And the Bible is the Word of God. And what the Word of God says true is true. And if you go to the mission field, it works, because we're not there to build a great church. We're not there to get the countless thousands and thousands in. We're there to preach the gospel. And the only message I have is the message of love. And it's the message that God so loved the world that he gave his son. And I have a message to deliver. Yes, but I believe the principles of the Word of God. I believe the truth of the New Testament. And I believe there's no other name but the name of the Lord Jesus. And he's the center. He's either Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. And I take my stand on the Word of God. What the other man believes, that's all right. I've got all kinds of friends among them. I take my stand. And I prove that God is no man's debtor. And them that honor me, I'll honor, saith the Lord. It's as true as the day it came off the press way back and spoken by his servant years or centuries ago. The word of God doesn't change. And the word of God hasn't changed today, but the whole world has changed. But how lovely it is to be in a faraway land and meet up with a little company of people and then be out in the woods or be out in the out-of-the-way spots and be able to sit down with them. And what the Lord has committed to you, you have committed to them. And let them get on with it. That's the business. And God does raise up fellow helpers. And then you go back and then you see it. Well, isn't it marvelous? He's still going on. She's still going on. And of course there are casualties. Of course there's defection. But here and there there's devotion. And they have nothing. And it's like the president said to me when I used to go over and read the Word of God and have a prayer with him. And I used to spend lots of time over there, Doyle, in the same in Kenya government. And I used to go to the ambassador and I'd sit with him with the Word of God. And you know what the philosophy of the African is? It's rather marvelous. He's not like the Jew. He knows how to make money. He's not like the European who knows how to break over bounds and make international conferences and concessions and spread himself with his know-how and technique to the fire engineers. He says, I'm an African. And you know what's the singular thing about us? And I looked at him, and then a great smile reads his face. It's this. I've still got a smile. And like the Ethiopian that got the news from God, and it entered into his heart. What happened? He went on his way with a song in his heart and a smile on his face. And you ask me why I appreciate being among the Jews? Because of the razor brain. You ask me why I love being among the Africans? It's because how can I except some man should teach me? And I've lived to see it proved to the letter. And why do I love being among the Europeans? Well, they know how to get things done. And really have marching orders. But I follow the New Testament. The marching orders of God is to go. And it may not be very much further than the confines of Israel like Christ. But think of the influence. Think of the far-reaching effects of that life to the ends of the earth. And now it's like when Dad and Mother went down into the ground. And then you scrape away the dirt. And you see the tomb. And what does it say? Christ is all in all. All in all. Christ is all. That's why they went to Africa. And that's why with us, how much do we appreciate the Lord Jesus as an individual, as a personal, as a person? And you see, here was God's message. Go. Go. I'll be with you. All power is invested in me. All authority. But your business is to go and make disciples, evangelize, teach, preach, as long as you're on the earth. And to everyone is given something to do. And that's why we're to go and we're to take our stand. And I've always felt I'd rather die and go to heaven than go back on my Lord. And I said to our kids, listen, children, all of you, six of you, I would rather you be taken to heaven than you ever bring disgrace on my Lord and shut my mouth. Sure, it's stuck in their brains and in their hearts. And what a lovely thing, the few years left to spend a little time with your kids if you've been separated from all your life. And then see the little grandchildren like these coming up. What's the nicest thing about being a grump and a grandmother? Well, what flowers are to the earth. And we can be something to our little children. And then we can pray every day of our lives for these kids that have to face things that we never know. And then the last thing, speak. And we're to speak the words of God in sincerity and truth. And we're to speak in love. And there's two ways to get your ear. I can cut it off with a sword. or I can speak in such a way as the servant of God did to Rebecca. I'll go. And away she went. And oh, to speak to someone here. Will you go for Jesus? Will you stand for Jesus? Will you speak for Jesus? And if anybody had told me years ago when we had such a hard time getting me through life because of TB in the family, if anybody had ever said that someday you'll be in a faraway land as a missionary and you'll take my message to the Jewish people and the peoples of the earth, none of our family could have ever taken it in. But I fulfilled my span. And there's no greater master in all the earth like the Lord Jesus. There's no book in all the world like the Bible. And there's no people on God's earth like his children. I'm glad to be with you. God bless you. God keep you. And in a day when so much emphasis is put on the masses and the media and all things pertaining to money and sex and so on, in such a day as this, oh, that as an individual, you, myself, might be a vessel meet for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work, and the little time that's left before the Lord comes to do what we can while we can. We'll only pass this way but once. Wherefore, my beloved brother, let's in our individual capacity, our personal way, let's be steadfast, all unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your all tired outness, your weariness, you're spent physically. It's not in vain in the Lord. The Lord.